Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting. My name is Danielle Ochieng and I am absolutely passionate and obsessed with everything about children, mental health, education, development, everything. And that's why I do what I do. I have a background in early childhood education and a specialization in children and adolescent psychology. And I get the joy of sharing the little that I've found out in my experience and in my training. You know, the irony about today's topic, which is presence over presence, is that this episode is being released on my birthday. And so specifically for me, not your child, I am accepting presence over presence. But that's on a light note. Two more serious things I would first of all really want to appreciate for those who listened to the last episode and shared it, because I did get quite a number of responses from it. I did have some mothers express how no one understands when they're asked, when are you getting another child? And they're like, never. You know, or they get judged for wishing they didn't even have the one that they have in the first place. But what I will reiterate to you and to those who feel the same but didn't reach out is that it's okay to feel that way. The motherhood journey is not what they paint it to be for everyone. And with a lot of things that can come with being an adult and being a mother, sometimes you're like, okay, this is not what I bargained for, and that is okay. But now that you have that lovely gift of a child, what are some of the things that matter most to them to grow up happy and holistically healthy? Your presence. That's the most important thing. Yes, with a CE at the end, not a TS. Away from the dishes, away from the cooking, away from work, away from the newspaper, away from the TV, and even most importantly, away from your phone. Oh my goodness. If you currently have or have been with a partner or spouse who spends time with you, like they're physically with you, but you do not feel like they're there because their attention is on other things or people, you will understand this episode even better. So before we stroll into today's topic, it's time for our Did You Know fact. So drum rolls. Did you know that studies show that loving someone, being loved, and showing physical affection can help heal wounds faster? And positive relations and frequent human contact increases one's levels of oxytocin, which in turn increases pain tolerance, reduces blood pressure, and eases stress. And that's why presence over presence. So what does being present look like? Well, I would try to describe it as being part of your child's experiences and their growing up, both the good and the bad, the ones you want to hear about and the ones you really crossing fingers and hoped wouldn't be part of your child's life. It means listening to what they're telling you without judging them, or at least not openly, and not making them feel like the worst child on the earth. Your presence means your child can find comfort in you when they're low or feeling bad about something they did or was done to them, whether they're 3 years old or 30. It means being able to protect them from any harm or perceived harm they may experience. Your presence over time should make your child feel loved and connected, safe, valued, and understood. That's it. That is it. We can end the podcast right now, but we shall continue. And do you know what this in turn does for you as a parent? One, it gives you confidence knowing that your child will come to you regardless of the situation they're in. And even more important, when someone is much older, or like both of you guys have grown up, no one will feel estranged and you won't wonder as a parent why your child never comes to visit you, yet you, in quotes, provided everything for them. I'm sure you've had parents complain about that with so much pain and like in their voices and in their hearts. And that's enough reason to show you that children need you as a person first before they need the things you provide for them. Not to say that, please still keep giving the presents to them. Not to say that you should not provide for them the gifts or to show your love. Just don't use what you give them or provide for them as a replacement for your absence. Because we all know the one thing that cannot be recovered once it's lost is time. Clarification, I always insist on some of these things, like it's not that you can't try and rent things when your kids are much older, it just takes way more effort. So if you can start now, please do start. And at this moment, I'd like to be sensitive to the parent who lacked a lot of things or some things while they're growing up. So all you want to do is give your child everything that you never had and even more. You are truly appreciated for that, and I know your children appreciate it, but please don't overcompensate and forget that your child needs you to be there for them more than they need a third bicycle. And a bicycle is important. If you can get a child a bicycle, whatever it is, but as I'm saying, just don't overcompensate or use that to replace your absence. There was some years ago when I was working with a preteen, and during one of our talks, she abruptly said, with tears in her eyes, and she's like, "Danielle, you know, I only see my dad 3 times a year. And obviously that pierced my heart and so much, so, so much. And I asked her why that was, and she responded by saying, "I know he's working really hard to make sure I go to the best schools and live in the best houses, but does he have to be away for so long and so far away? I don't even like the schools I go to. They're full of mean children who only care about themselves and being popular, even when that means hurting me or being mean to me in the process." And then obviously we went to the whole "what about mom," and all she said was, "I don't even want to talk about her." My dear parents, if this, among the many examples that I can give, doesn't get to you, I don't know what will, but your kids definitely and desperately need your presence. Because what's the point of gaining the whole world and losing your child? The one thing I acknowledge and have noticed, having been in the classroom teaching kids, whether they're 2 years old or teenagers, is that when a child presents with behavioral challenges that either the parent is seeing at home or they're consistently being called to school for, that is just your child's cry for attention, because your child only gets to be a child once. The next stage, they're going to be preteens, and then they're going to be teenagers, and then they're going to be adults, and then life happens. They move out. They probably never want to come home. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen between childhood and adulthood, and now is the time for you as a parent to take time to nurture your relationship with your child. Because when I've been in the classroom with children, whether it's 2 years or teenagers, and taught them, and you see a child who presents with a lot of behavioral challenges, either some that the parents have seen at home or they're consistently being called in school for, that's just a child's cry for attention, because there's a void in them. And if being your child is not enough, or if they feel like being your child is not enough to get you to be fully present with them or listen to them, then they will misbehave, because they know that will get your attention, even if it's negative attention. I always say a child's behavior or constantly getting in trouble is not something a child wakes up with. It's not because they like the consequences or are being intentionally disrespectful or chaotic. It is just a cry for help. So when you can, please sit with your child if you know they have these behavioral issues, and find out what they need help with without being too harsh and dismissive. And they'll most likely tell you. If they do not, get someone who's well-versed with children or adolescents, or a teacher or adult that they love and trust, and ask them to mediate and help you figure out what's happening with your kid. And as I keep saying, presence over presence, and your kids need you more than they need those extra things, I'll give you about 5 tips that can help you be more present in your child's life. But these are in no way exhaustive or all you can do, or even anything you can do. You can have your own things, but it's just a suggestion. Number one is have gadget-free time together. No TV on, no laptops, no tablets, no phones, no anything. When you're spending time with each other, make it a rule. Like, even if it's 10, 15 minutes a day when y'all are just chilling and finding out about each other's days and, you know, just spending time together doing an activity, have gadget-free time. I mean, with the world where we are so consumed, and those of us who grew up when technology was coming in and we thought Facebook was the worst thing that happened to parents, wait until you see parents in their 50s, 60s on TikTok. Don't even want to talk about that, but please put your phones away and talk to your kids. Second tip is meal times. Use your meal times to spend time with your children. It doesn't have to be every day because of different work relations. But what this looks like is that everyone eats together at the table. Every single person. No one is in the bedroom, no one's in the TV room, no one's outside, everybody's at the table. But don't make it like a must, because make it a must, but don't make it like a chore so that your kids dread it. Or I just make it look like, okay, guys, I just want people to, I want us to spend time together and we're gonna eat together every once a week on Saturdays, Fridays, Thursdays, Mondays. Dinner will be spent together. And the prerequisite is that there's no technology. The TV and radio are off. Phones are not there, as I've mentioned, and people are talking to each other about each other's days or even some ongoing topic, whatever will be happening in your state or your place at that point. Just like, what do you think about this? Or how was your day? What did you like about the day? What challenges did you experience? How did you help somebody? How do you think somebody helped? Like anything to just get to know your child and spend time. The third one comes from the did you know fact, and that is find time for physical connection. This could be any type of physical connection, a hug, a high five, pat on the back, a fist bump, or any other way. There's actually a study that was published in the Genetic Psychology Monographs where researchers found that institutionalized infants, that is children in children's homes and the likes, who received hugs for an additional 20 minutes of interpersonal touch in a day for 10 weeks scored higher in developmental assessments than those who did not. And you know what that means? Your child is privileged to grow in a home with you and not crowded with 100 others, where they can develop in a healthy way. And appropriate touch, physical touch, releases oxytocin, which we all know is a love hormone, and it stimulates good feelings and the release of other hormones that help in growth, create stronger immunity, helps with emotional regulation when someone is stressed, and just generally gives a feeling of being loved and connected. Number four, just listen. When your child wants to tell you something, when your teenager wants to tell you something, listen. Not to give advice, not to lecture, not to judge. Just listen to them and be actually attentive and follow up questions and all those kind of things. And find out from them, do you want me to give you advice or do you want me to help or do you want me to just listen? Right? And always assure them, regardless of anything, I'm there for you and guide your kids if you see they're going in some direction. That is not good, but that is not during the time they're opening up if they don't want advice at that point. The last but the most important is be present for yourself first as a parent. I say this a lot and I will keep saying it, is that you cannot pour from an empty cup. If you feel empty, there's nothing to pour into your child. It's out of your overflow that you can give to your children and you will notice the difference. If you're drained, your life becomes frustrating, your kids become frustrating, everything around becomes a dread. So try and fill into your cup. Know who you are, love yourself, you know, do things for yourself so that you can also give your children the joy of you being the parent and them being your child. I want you to now think about your growing up. And right now, do you still talk to or visit your parents, if they're alive, or your caregivers, whoever took care of you? And not talking or visiting them out of obligation because you're their child, but because you genuinely enjoy talking to them and visiting them and spending time with them. Just a moment to think about that. And what would you have loved your relationship with both your parents to be like right now? What would you have wanted them to do differently if you could rewind time and be a child or teenager again? As you reflect on those questions and get the answers you come up with, try and be that for your child. And on top of that, ask them how being more present for them would look like and how you can show up for them so they feel connected, loved, and safe. Believe me, they know. And remember that each child is different. So what will work with one of your kids may not necessarily work with the other. But one thing that is almost as one size fits all is that quality over quantity. I am deeply concerned about children's mental and emotional well-being on top of everything that comes with children. And that's why I share my little insights here, because with my years of interacting with children of all ages who are suffering in one way or another, and they share it with me, it all stems from needing their parents to listen and be present. I'm yet to be proved wrong. I'm yet to listen to a child or a teenager, especially the teenagers, because that's when they're more expressive. Speak about something they're going through and the underlying issue is not something to do with the parent-child relationship. So please, try be more present with your kids. The benefits will outweigh anything you can ever physically give them, but still do give them presents. Show them you love them. By the way, the presents are still important. As you listen to this episode today, go get them an apple, we're trying to be healthy here. I would have said a lollipop. Get them something small. It doesn't have to be big. And even if it's your adult child, and say, hey, I was at work and I was seated in traffic and there's this guy selling this thing and I thought of you. Here is a sweet. You'll notice the difference. And with so much said, it's a wrap for today. I hope you picked a thing or half of a thing from this episode. And please share it with others in your circle and subscribe or follow depending on the platform so you never miss an episode. Thank you. That's it for me. If you'd like to reach me, you can email me at babystepsbyd, that's D-double-E, at gmail.com with any topic or questions, and I would love to respond. Bye.